Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As runners in life's race, believers need to understand the clash of cross and culture. As citizens of both heaven and earth, we have obligations to both. Obligations we must keep distinct, especially at election time. Today, we'll sort it all out. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. As he concludes his message, The Clash of Cross and Culture, Dr. Lutzer tells of the dangers in uniting with non-believers to achieve political gains.
Conservative coalition, perhaps, would be a better term, but Christian coalition? Really? Let me say this to you from the bottom of my heart and from the depths of my spirit to you today. There may be some value in uniting for certain political causes with those who are believers in different gods and different religions. There may be some value, and of course politics is a game of numbers, and that's the purpose for these coalitions, because you have to be able to outvote those whom you want to have in office or not to have in office, and that's the name of the game. But it's a high-stakes game with all kinds of problems, and it has backfired significantly. But listen to this. If there is ever a cause in which we unite with those for different religions, whatever may be said about that cause, it absolutely cannot be the main mission of the church. It can't be. It's got to be something else, something of lesser importance. Because the mission of the church is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and I am the way, said Jesus, the truth and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by me. And that is our mandate, and that is our mission, and we must stick with those who agree with us and unite with them. But we cannot even begin to think that we can make common cause with those who believe in different religions and somehow still be fulfilling that mandate. Impossible. Impossible. Let us simply admit it. PBS is going to do a series, or at least one presentation, on the religious right in America. I saw it advertised yesterday in the newspaper. A news reporter working on it went to a friend of mine who is a scholar and who would have some input on those things. And my friend tells me that he was speaking to this woman who had interviewed 40 people on the religious political right. And he said to her, did anyone explain the gospel to you? And she said, no, what is the gospel? What do you mean? And he explained the gospel to her, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. We can be reconciled to God because Christ met all of God's requirements, and he's the only qualified Savior. And salvation must be a free gift, because if you understand the nature of who we are and who God is, it can be no other way. She had never heard that before. That was news. My dear friend, has it really come to the point in America where a news reporter can interview 40 Christian politicians and not hear the message of the gospel of Christ? Has it come to that? Could it well be that we are missing it? We are missing it, and we have forgotten what our main mission is? And that is to exalt Christ. And could it be that the reason that we cast about for one of these political solutions is because we somehow think in the depths of our hearts that the cross does not work anymore? Could it be? Of course, there's place for political involvement. All good citizens should be involved. They should vote. I believe Christians should run for office. But I'm very wary about an organization that says, this is the Christian view, or this is the Christian party. We need to think these things through, don't we? We need to use the right weapons. And what is the right weapons? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, somebody came up with a document to try to unite those who are a part of Christendom but do not believe in justification by faith alone with those who do. And the reason is because things are so bad, we need one another. And the contention was that that which unites us is greater than that which separates us. Well, let me tell you something today. When it comes to justification by faith alone, there is nothing possibly that could possibly unite us if we disagree on that point. And that which divides us on that issue is always much greater than that which could possibly unite us, because it is the heart of what we believe to be most precious. There are few things that I would ever die for. I think I'd find it difficult to die for my country. I've never been asked to do that. I think I'd find it difficult to die for a lot of different things. But there's one thing I'd be willing to go to the stake for by God's grace, and I hope that I would march there triumphantly, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the distinctive message of today, and the only message that is the power of God. We say we want to see God's power, and so people go into all kinds of meetings with ecstatic utterances and what have you. They say, we want to see God's power. We want to see people who are touched by God. Paul says, I offer you to do the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. It is our most formidable weapon. I agree with Bonhoeffer, who said, it is not before us, but it is before the cross that the world trembles. Third, we fight with the right attitude. We fight with the right attitude. We fight with humility. We don't come to the political process thinking that we have all the right answers, and if we did all the right things, everything would come out nicely. Perhaps you disagree with Luther, but at least some of us maybe have the humility to admit that he was right when he said, I would rather be governed by a wise Turk than a stupid Christian. And we're not so foolish to think that just because a Christian is in power, that somehow that's going to reverse everything that is wrong with America. Of course, politics is important, and I'll comment more on that next week, but it is not America's great hope. It's not America's great hope. So we come and we serve with humility. We come with service. Yes, we are at abortion clinics, but what are we there for? To shout, to scream, to rant, to rave? Or are we there to minister to young women, some of whom think they have no other alternative, and with tears in our eyes, pleading with them to keep their offspring? And when they choose to do so, are we there with our clinics and with our help and with our support, helping them with that alternative? That's really the issue. I told you before, Bishop Samwell, who died in that burst of gunfire with Anwar Sadat, explaining to Ray Bakke as to why Christianity captured so much of northern Africa. And those were in the days, of course, before such an invention as a baby bottle. And babies, the pagans would just take them and leave them on the steppe to die. That was their abortion technique. And they would take nursing mothers and they would put them in the city square. And then they would have other people go on baby runs, and they would pick up these babies and they'd bring them to the nursing mothers, and the nursing mothers would nurse them and care for them, and they would rear these kids. And the pagans said, where in the world is all this compassion coming from? And they were impressed with the compassion and the caring love of Christians. And that began to turn the hearts of the pagans toward Christianity. Somebody asked the question, well, there are so many people with whom I work who are so hard to the gospel. They are cynical, yes. And the way in which that is broken down scripturally, as we shall see in this series, it is broken down through living lives of humility and service and brokenness and integrity in the presence of the watching world. And that's the way we impact culture. Is there an answer for us? I want you to know today that when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, there was no Christian even represented on the Roman Senate where Nero ruled. There was no possibility of appealing special rights or appealing for your own rights as a Christian in the Roman Empire. No, the Christians got burned at the stake. That's what happened. They had none of that. And yet about them it is said that they turned the world upside down. Why? Unshakable confidence that they had a message that could explode in the lives of the most wicked person and transform him into someone who would love God and whose life would be changed from the inside out. I conclude by saying simply this: our problems in America are far too deep to think that they can be changed by a change of administrations in Washington. Certainly, we should vote for the person who is best, for the person who represents those values that we hold dear. But at the end of the day, America needs something much more drastic. What we need is a message that can come to men and women as members of the city of God, reaching out in the arts, in our businesses, in our relationships, in our families, reaching out to the city of man and showing them the beauty and the love and the service and the compassion and the wonder of Christ. That's what we need in America. And therefore, I want you to know today that the destiny of this great country rests not in Washington, but in Chicago. And not in just in Chicago, but in Peoria and in all the cities where the gospel is preached and where men and women gather together in the name of Christ and are willing to be witnesses wherever God has planted them. And with this, I do conclude. I urge those of you who are still members of the city of man. Augustine said, whatever men build, men will destroy. Your retirement programs, your buildings, your prestige, your reputation will be destroyed. But only those who belong to the city of God, who have found refuge in Christ our Lord, who have seen the cross in its beauty as the means and the instrument of death, but also the instrument of reconciliation. It is only those who cleave to him they will be spared, because the city of man will disintegrate. But only those who know God will live forever. They have a treasure that Alaric the Goth could not touch. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I most assuredly hope that you don't interpret my remarks as teaching that we should not be involved in politics. Of course we should be. But we have to be involved in politics in such a way that the church always maintains its independence. I believe that it is wrong for ministers, for example, to endorse political candidates. Our responsibility is to preach the Bible, to preach on various issues, to instruct people regarding what those issues are, but we cannot tie our name and we cannot tie the gospel to any person. We must always maintain that independence so that we can say to all political parties, if you do not believe on Jesus, you will be lost forever. That is the essence of our message.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded The Clash of Cross and Culture, the first of 8 messages in a series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Next time, some fireworks as we contrast the cross and the flag. In the complex area of faith and politics, we need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.